you're listening to me, Liz Earle, with Wellness with Liz Earle, and I'm actually slightly overexcited by my guest today. She is somebody I have watched with a mix of awe and interest for many years, having actually first caught my eye when I covered fashion shows for GMTV back in the day, as she was a modelling catwalk superstar, then later on TV talking cakes and baking, and more recently I've been stalking her on Instagram as she continues to inspire me with her weightlifting. She is, of course, Lorraine Pascal. Welcome.
Hi.
To the Wellbeing Studios. You have covered so much in such a short space of time. I think what we should do probably is go right back to the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Where did it all begin for you?
Well, it started off with a modelling. So I actually went to do the clothes show competition. I don't know if you remember.
I do remember. Absolutely. Karen Franklin and Jeff Banks.
And I didn't get through. But Beth Bolt, who was at Synchro, the lady that found Naomi, she told me to go and visit her in the summer in London.
That's Naomi Campbell.
Naomi Campbell. And so I went to her agency, which was called Synchro. And then when I arrived, she said she'd taken on so many girls that she couldn't take me on.
Right.
So then she gave me the list, the AMA, which is, I don't know what it's called now, was the Association of Model Agencies. And I went through every agent on the list, including Page Three, when I didn't know it was Page Three.
Oh, my goodness. That was a lucky escape.
I just walked in, saw the pictures and thought, yeah.
Maybe not.
Not quite big enough for that. And and it was the last agency on the list. It was about 6 o'clock. I was rushing to Covent Garden, which is funny enough where I started the day, and I rang them from a payphone and I said, please, can you stay open? I've come all the way up from Oxford and I really want to see you. And they said, yeah, sure, we'll stay open. And then they took me on. So,
gosh, and how old were you?
16.
Wow, that's a big move, isn't it? And what did you start doing? Because you are built like a model, aren't you? For those, this is obviously a podcast, so people can't see you, but you are beautifully tall, incredibly slim, long-limbed. Were you a natural for the catwalk?
It started out, actually, my first job was with, I don't know if you remember, a band called Clannad, which were Enya's brothers and sisters.
Yes.
So it was my first job was with Clannad in Ireland, doing their video.
Really?
Yeah.
And then from there, where did that go to?
Then I started to do shows for like the Royal Academy of Arts, where Alexander McQueen went. So I can't remember what the school was called. Was it St. Martin's? Anyway, I started to do their fashion shows, their end of year shows.
Yeah.
And then did London Fashion Week.
Right.
And did editorial, and then Paris, Milan, New York.
Gosh, that whole circuit. I remember it well from when I used to cover it. And these were in the days when it was still relatively small scale. You know, there wasn't that sort of whole crowd of bloggers and,
bloggers.
The whole social media thing has sort of really exploded.
Mm.
But there were a lot of greats on the catwalk, as you say, in those days. Naomi Campbell, Christy Turlington, Linda Evangelista, that was...
Yeah.
Kate Moss, who I know you were on the catwalk with. So so that was your life for how long?
I did that for about 15 years.
Gosh. And did you enjoy it? Was it fun?
I had lots of fun. I met he's my ex-husband now, but I met my husband when I was modelling, and I met lots of good friends. And what better way to spend your late teens and early 20s than gallivanting around the world and getting paid for it?
Sure. Those are the highs. What are the lows?
Hunger.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, I'm slim, but I'm not naturally skinny. So I did have to. And the lows, I suppose it's like any job when you're self-employed, it's waiting. Sometimes you work a lot and then the silence for a bit.
So how did you go from catwalk to cakes?
Well, I wanted to find a job that, because my daughter... had my daughter when I had been modelling for quite some time, and I got married, had my daughter, and I wanted to find something that kept me in one place.
Mm.
So I started to look for a job or a career that I could be passionate about and be in one place with. Because my dad's a Spanish, he's retired now, Spanish teacher, and he loves his work. And I really wanted to have that. Even though I did enjoy my work, I really wanted to maybe get more fulfillment out of my job.
Mm.
So I did all these different courses to find what it was that made me tick.
Yeah.
And I found my passion. And then I set about turning my passion into some kind of profit.
Right. Yes, that's always a good one.
Yeah.
So the passion was baking. Is that where you started?
The passion was actually Leith School of Food and Wine, pre-Leith now, as we know, on the Bake Off.
Yes.
Excuse me. So I went there for a year, and that's all food.
Yeah.
And then I left and specialised in baking and patisserie for 4 years. Excuse me. I specialised in baking and patisserie and culinary arts management for 4 years at University of West London. So that was a 4-year degree.
Gosh, with the view to what? Opening a restaurant? Or?
I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I just knew that I enjoyed studying and learning all about food.
So you then went back to Covent Garden in a way, didn't you? Having started your modelling there. What happened with the baking?
Happens in Covent Garden. So then I started to work for Hummingbird Bakery and I did stages in different restaurants. So a stage is just an unpaid placement that you do.
Gosh, I've never heard of that. A stage.
In a restaurant or... Okay. And if you're... So I did a few restaurant placements, but if you're a pastry chef, it's great to work in hotels where they have the tea service and afternoon teas and they do lots of different pastries. So I did that. And then I decided to open a bakery.
So cakes and biscuits, and that's where it's at for you, is it?
Well, yes, for a while.
And then from there followed TV.
Yes, then I got my show, which I've done on the BBC for, I think I did 5 or 6 shows. And now I'm doing a lot of baking in America. So I'm a judge on several shows in America.
Is it a bit like Bake Off?
It's like Bake Off, but it's a bit faster.
Okay.
For the American audience.
Shorter attention span, is it?
Well, it's just their TV's more, it's just faster.
You've got to get in quick before the ad breaks.
Yeah, they have a lot more ad breaks, so I think they need to be a bit more nippy.
And how many cakes do you have to judge in any kind of one session?
Well, we just had the Spring Baking Championship, so that was 10 contestants. Sometimes they cook 3 items per round. So that's
30.
And then we have 2 rounds per day.
Oh my goodness, are you eating 60 bits of cake a day?
I'm afraid I am.
How do you look the way you look?
Well, I've put on about 7 pounds on this trip.
I'm not quite sure where, maybe on your fingers
baggy jumper,
or something.
Baggy jumper today. But it'll fall off, so I can't sustain that level of eating cake.
Right.
And I host a couple of shows out there and I'm really enjoying working out there too.
How do you do it literally? You're traveling a lot, and that transatlantic, you're crossing time zones, so it is a toll on the body.
Yeah.
And I know your schedule is quite jam-packed. You're eating a lot of refined sugar and yet you look amazing, and I know you're very into nutrition. What are the things that you do that keep you going kind of despite that schedule?
Well, on the day I travel, I don't concentrate on what I eat because of the time zones and your natural rhythms. It's like impossible to be healthy. So the day I travel, I rule that out. I use my MyFitnessPal app and I keep a track of what I'm eating.
Yeah.
This is just every day. So I know what I need to eat to sustain my weight. I know what I need to eat to lose weight. And it's not just calories. It's more proteins, carbs and fats.
Yeah.
So I have that programmed. Yeah, I mean, otherwise you can just, I'll just save all my calories and drink 3 bottles of wine and Saturday night.
It's not the same, is it?
It's not quite right, no.
No, that's not going to keep you going.
And so that's how I know that if I'm not putting my calories and carbs and all that in, that's when I just go.
Okay. Do you follow any particular regime? Are you a veggie? Are you paleo?
I just find when I don't believe in omitting food groups. It just doesn't last. It doesn't last. Yep. I mean, I did Atkins and I lost loads of weight, and then I had one fondant fancy and then the wheels fell off for the next 3 months.
I think the low GI is not going to work for you, is it, somehow?
It's not working. So I just think it's a balance. So I have cheese, I have chips, but then I do eat lots of healthy food. And in the morning I have a shake, which looks disgusting, but it has
what
goes
into that?
Maca matcha, spirulina, turmeric, L-glutamine.
So are these all powders?
Organic powders. Bimuno. So I work with nutritional scientists who helped me on my book, Eating Well Made Easy. They did all of the nutritional stuff for that.
Yeah.
And
Bimuno is the prebiotic, isn't it? So we're talking gut health here, which
gut
is right up my street.
Very important. Yeah. Changed my life since I've use that
really
product. Yeah,
really,
because sometimes it's difficult when you're traveling to get all the fermented goods and all of that.
Exactly, you can't really travel with lots of kombucha. No. And kimchi. And
but I was away for 2 weeks. I had my 14 sachets of Bumuno.
Great. So these are being powders. You can pack them, because I know almost famously, I've seen you do this on social media. You don't have any luggage that you check in. Everything goes with you as cabin baggage.
Everything goes with me.
Which is a big ask, you know, because you're sustaining yourself. You've got your wardrobe and your toiletries and all that decanted into little bottles, I expect.
I do that, yeah. So sometimes I'm pushing it. Like I went to Sarajevo, and the plane's substantially smaller than the ones that transatlantic, obviously. So that was a bit of a challenge. And goodness me, if they ever weighed it.
Okay, so it's small but very densely packed.
Yes. No, I'm sure it's under the kilos. But yeah, I the powders and potions are really important since I've got older.
Yeah, yeah. And balancing all of this, of course, we touched on it in the intro, is the weightlifting.
Yes.
And your exercise schedule and your gym. And have you always been somebody who's been involved in fitness? Does that come from modelling, having
no,
to stay in shape?
I didn't really, when I was younger, I didn't really need to focus on that. When I was pregnant, I did one day's exercise and that was it. It was so exhausting.
You had to go and lie down.
For 3 months. It was afters when I was losing the weight.
Yeah.
That's when it started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's your exercise regime now? What does that look like?
Well, I do 5 days a week. I get up early. If I don't get it done early, I'll say I'll go at 3, I'll go at 4, and it never happens. I'll go at 6, doesn't happen. Yeah. So I like to go early. And
so you're up at what time?
5. I meditate for 20 minutes every day. And then...
What time do you go to bed to get up at 5?
10, but I don't need much sleep.
Okay.
I only need like 4 or 5 hours. Mm. So meditate, walk the dog, go to the gym. Mm-hmm. And then it's either time under tension.
What's that?
Which is lifting weights, lighter weight, but much slower reps. So mm-hmm. you go down for 4, pause, and then up for 2. So much slower.
Okay.
Or I'll do a quick round. It's called as many as possible. So you do 10 squats and then 10 press-ups and then 10 abs. Then mm-hmm. 9, 9, 9, 8, 8, do that.
Oh, really? Okay.
In 15-minute time. So as soon as 15 minutes is up, you stop.
I quite like that. So that you're counting yourself down. So counting yourself down. You know that it's going to get a little bit easier in terms of number of repetitions, but you're still pushing yourself.
Exactly. So I like doing that if I don't have much time. I always find a gym where I'm going. Mm-hmm. Or I stay in a hotel that has a gym.
Yeah.
If I have to go away and there's no gym, I struggle.
Do you take your weights and your hand luggage? Because that's going to make it heavy.
I've got my weights. I found on Amazon. These are weights you fill with water.
These sound really intriguing.
How
heavy can you fill them then?
I think they're 5 kilos each. And I think there's 4 on each one. So they're 20 each, I think.
20 kilos. Wow.
And it was good, but letting them down takes some time, you know, taking a lot longer than I thought, like 2 hours to take the water out. But yeah, I do that. But normally I just go to where there's a gym.
Okay. And what sort of weights are we lifting? Is it something that you've worked up to? Do you start low? For anybody listening that hasn't tried lifting weights, is that what you do? You incrementally increase the weight?
Yeah, progressive overload. So you want to make sure that you're going up maybe every 1 or 2 months. But if you're doing the time under tension, you don't have to as much, purely because you are lifting the weights for much longer time because you're doing it much more slowly.
Yeah.
So it adds up to pretty much the same as if you're doing a much heavier weight for shorter time.
Oh, I see, for shorter time. That's really clever, isn't it? This whole kind of time weight. So what sort of weight would you do? Would you lift slowly?
If I'm doing lunges, for instance, my legs are quite strong, so I'll have maybe 15 kilo dumbbells. But that's quite heavy.
Is that 15 in each hand?
Yeah.
What? That's 30 kilos.
So my legs are very strong. Or my back's very strong as well. So mm-hmm. I'll do 18 kilo rows, single arm rows. Mm-hmm. But then my chest is very weak.
Right.
Because I don't think it looks nice when you have that muscle chest thing.
If you're a woman. Keep that light.
So I do that very light.
Right.
I think a toned arm is nice and legs.
Yes.
But the chest...
Can you get that just from push-ups, or do you have to have weights, you know, if you want to tone your arms?
You can start with push-ups. So start with body weight. It's good. Body weight, squats, body weight, lunges.
Just using your own body weight then.
Yeah, so nothing. And then you gradually work up to it.
Yeah.
But the most important thing is the form.
Okay.
Because you can look on the internet and think, oh yeah, I'm doing it. But that's how injuries start.
Yeah. Yeah.
So even if you, when you join a gym, you get that first session, don't you? Someone can help you know how to have the correct form.
Or if you're doing it at home, just a one-off with a personal trainer just to get you going.
Yeah, or just befriend a trainer and then you sort of you can do the exercise and just send the video and check you're doing it correctly.
That's a good idea. Yeah, I know some people work over Skype and things like that as well so that they can be checked, which is a really good plan.
Yeah.
I think what's really inspiring is that you can fit this into kind of regular life. It's not like you have to do anything extreme. You seem to be very balanced. Well-balanced in many ways.
Well, it's a routine now and I miss it. Like, I haven't been for about 3 days and I'm really missing it.
Yeah.
So it's it just becomes a habit, doesn't it? Like everything else, like making your bed and brushing it just becomes a habit once you do it long enough. But you have to give it 6 months, I think, to until it becomes part of what you do.
And, of course, as we get older, and I know a lot of the chats that I've done on this podcast have been, you know, particularly looking at middle years and menopause, for example, our metabolism is slowing up and you can really help kickstart it, from what I understand, through lifting weights.
Yeah.
And helping to preserve bone density, bone strength, helping to ward off osteoporosis, for example.
Yeah, super important. And people do yoga and it's, yoga's great, but it's not enough for your bones as you get older. So I'd like my muscle mass is higher now than it was when I was younger.
It's not encouraging, you know. It's encouraging to know as we age, we can actually get better.
Yeah, so this whole thing, oh, I'm getting older now, that's why I'm putting on weight. Yes, but you can do something about it. But it is hard work and sometimes it's not fun and sometimes you don't want to go, but then you'll reap the benefits.
Yeah. Okay. Before we finish, I'd just love to hear a little bit about your story and your journey with fostering, because I know that you are an ambassador and you're very much involved with that, having been fostered. Is that right?
Yes. I think that, I mean, everyone should give back, I believe. But especially if you are in the public eye, I think it's the duty to give back. I think it's like rude if people don't.
Quite right. They, well said.
They have this huge platform, some people, millions of followers, and they could make changes
huge
just by one tweet or one Instagram post.
Yeah.
So I, the area that I'm going into, I'm obviously carrying on with the baking and the healthy eating. I'm that weird balance. I don't eat cake all the time. My lifestyle's actually healthy eating. But I'm very much into emotional wellness, emotional well-being, and finding work that's fulfilling. And so for me, one of the things I do is the fostering. So talks, visiting foster children, helping if they tweet, retweeting, that kind of thing.
Right.
And also just doing talks on helping people find more purpose in life and have live a more fulfilling life. So I'm doing loads of research on that. I'm doing talks in schools on confidence, and I'm doing talks in prisons on resilience and purpose and all that kind
Fantastic.
Of thing. So it's a slow build, but it's something that I'm really excited to do. And it's almost like my fulfilling for me, and it's my purpose is to sort of help other people find their purpose as well. Because cake's great and it's more like a passion, but then the purpose and fulfillment is also very key.
It's so wonderful to have you here talking. Thank you so much.
Thank
As
you.
Usual, we will be putting all the details of lots of resources that we've talked about today in the podcast notes, which you will be able to download. But Lorraine, such a pleasure to have you here with us. Thank you.
Thank you. Lovely to be here.
So that's it for today. Don't forget to head over to lizearlwellbeing.com for more info on today's show. You simply need to sign up to my weekly wellbeing newsletter and you'll get automatic free access to all my podcast notes, together with a weekly mini feast of recipes, including cakes, offers and event preview details. Don't forget to subscribe if you haven't already done so, so you don't miss the next episode. And do please leave me a review if you'd like to. You can follow my team and me on the Lizelle Wellbeing magazine page on Facebook, on Twitter and on Instagram. And you can also follow me personally, if you'd like, on Twitter and Instagram, where you will also find me at Lizelle Me. Until next time, go well. Bye-bye.